Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Heritage Foods Q4 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this call is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Anuj.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody, and a very warm welcome to you all. My name is Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Heritage Foods Limited. On behalf of the company, I would like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings call for the fourth quarter and full year financial year ending 2024. Before we begin, let me mention a quick cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's beliefs as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Now, let me introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call and hand it over to them for opening remarks. We firstly have with us Mrs. N. Brahmani, Executive Director, Dr. Sambasiva Rao, President, Mr. Sridhar Kesavan, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. A. Prabhakaran Naidu, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. J. Sambamoorthy, Chief Operating Officer, Mr. Upendra Pandey, CEO of Heritage Nutrivet Limited, and Mr. Umakanta Barek, Company Secretary and Compliance Officer. Without any further delay, I request Dr. Sambasiva Rao to start with his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Anuj. Good evening to everyone joining us today on this call. We are pleased to welcome you all to this earnings call for the quarter four and full year 2024. The financial results and earnings presentation have been uploaded already on the exchanges, and I hope you must have had a chance to look at them. We are pleased to inform you that Heritage Foods has reported robust growth in terms of earnings and profitability for the quarter as well as for the full year. For the quarter four under review on a consolidated basis, the operating income was 951 crores, representing a growth of 16% year-on-year. EBITDA for the quarter was 70 crore rupees, which grew by 68% year-on-year. EBITDA margins were at 7.39%. Net profit for the quarter was at 41 crores, representing a strong growth of 126% year-on-year, with PAT margins reported 4.26%. For the financial year ending 2024, our consolidated operating income grew by 17% year-on-year to 3,794 crore rupees. EBITDA stood at 210 crore rupees, representing a strong growth of 52%, with EBITDA margins improving to 5.52% as compared to 4.27% in the last financial year. Net profits for the year stood at 107 crore rupees, which has seen a significant improvement of 84% on year-on-year basis, with PAT margins reported at 2.81%. Now, moving on to the operational performance. In the fourth quarter under review, milk procurement volume grew by 11.32% year-on-year to 1.59 million liters per day, while the average procurement prices dropped by 3.5 rupees per liter, that's 7.5%, to 41.7 rupees per liter. Our milk sales volume experienced a steady growth of 3.74% year-on-year in quarter four to 1.11 million liters per day, while the average milk selling prices for the quarter rose by 1.78%, that is close to 1 rupee per litre, 254.84 rupees per litre. Value-added products registered a robust revenue growth of around 22% year-on-year in quarter four. We also had several new launches in quarter four. The products we launched include toned and skimmed milk in Tetra Pak under brand name Farm Fresh and Light Fit. A new ice cream variant, Wipes, launched during Valentine's Day. New variants of Fresh Milk, Gold and Super Gold in Chennai. Flavored curd in two variants under brand name Shubh Meeta Dahi. We also expanded our distribution network further in quarter four by adding 432 milk distributors, 33 VAP distributors and 11 fresh value-added product distributors. This expansion aims to improve product availability and reach a wider consumer base. For the financial year ending 2024, VAP witnessed a strong growth of 18.7% year-on-year basis. Value-added products contribution, including consumer packed ghee and butter, stood at 33.5% for the year financial year 24 and at 29.63% without ghee in consumer pack and butter in consumer pack. Coming to our subsidiary and joint venture, they also had a strong performance in financial year 24. With Heritage NutriVet, the wholly owned subsidiary, reaching 160 crores rupees in revenue in FY24, representing a growth of 50% year-on-year, and also a significant growth in bottom line from 1.6 crore rupees to 7.4 crore rupees, which represents a growth of 360% year-on-year. Our joint venture, Heritage Nuvandi Foods Private Limited, reduced the losses by 4 crores during the financial year from 17 to 13 crore rupees. With this, we open the floor for question and answers and any interaction. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sameer Gupta from India Infoline. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon and thanks for taking my question. Firstly, sir, on the milk procurement price, now there is a sharp reduction in this price this quarter and the same is not yet visible in the selling milk prices, which usually follows with a lag. So, first of all, this milk procurement price reduction, is there something which is a one-off or this is more of a trend now because this was also expected in a way? And if that is so, then do you expect some moderation in EBITDA margin then from the current level? It may still settle at a higher level, but just the fact that some of this may need to be passed on to consumers, do you foresee that? Your thoughts here?
Yeah, thank you, Sameer. This is Srideep here. So first of all, yes, we have had, we have seen milk prices drop in quarter four of the financial year. And it is usually the case because quarter four is the end of, you know, a good flush season and the prices usually start to drop from November, December onwards, and it continues to drop. So there is nothing unusual about it. In our opinion, this we had seen in all good flush years, except in the year before where we had an abnormal year. So that is first answering your question on why the drop happened. Second question, I think, you're referring, you're probably asking us if we will drop the consumer prices. No is the answer usually, because the pricing up with a lag is a reality, but pricing down with a lag usually doesn't happen. So we are not looking at any price reduction at this point in time. Third, the price drop, will it sustain during the quarter one? Usually the prices go up a tad bit depending on the availability of the milk as we come off the flush season. So we are seeing a little bit of prices climbing up a little bit, but I don't think that there is anything to worry, because alongside that we are also seeing the sales volumes increase and the value-added product contribution increase, as is usually the case in quarter one. So we don't see anything abnormal happening at this point in time.
Great, Shri, thanks for that detailed answer. Second question is that I still see a large amount of fat sales this quarter, around 71 crores. Now, before there was the phenomenon of bulk fat sales, this used to be a 30 to 40 crore quarterly number. So just a question here, that is it like your branded fat sales have gone up to that extent, or there is still some element of bulk fat sales sitting in this quarter?
Yes, Amir. So Shridip here. This quarter also we had bulk fat sale, but if you look at the quantities, while in quarter two, we may have sold close to 2,000 tons. In quarter three, that came down to 1,500, and quarter four was just about 1,000 tons. So that quantity has significantly come down. In fact, the closing stock of fats is now very much, in our under control, in the sense we have less than, we have just about a month's stock. So we do not anticipate any further bulk fat sales to happen. The sale of fat products on the consumer side has been steadily growing. While in quarter one, we sold close to 560 tons, the same number in quarter four was close to 800 tons. So if you could note the trend on consumer side, the sales volume is growing steadily quarter on quarter, 560, 680 like that, eventually ending up with 800 odd tons in the quarter. Whereas in the commodity side, which is the bulk fat sale, has come down from 2,000 tons to 1,000 tons, and nearly we can say that it is now absolutely at a 800 tons is nothing. 800 tons is what we need for sales of consumer products. So we are not carrying any bulk fat at this point in time.
Just to follow up there, Shiri, so this bulk fat, and correct me if I am wrong, this is usually sold at the existing fat prices with almost a zero gross margin. Is this understanding correct?
It depends on when you accumulate it, at what price you accumulated, and when you liquidated. So there is always a lag.
Assuming there is no price change during that time, would that be a fair understanding?
Okay, if it is sold on the spot, you're absolutely right, you're bang on. But if you recall what happened early on in last financial year, the raw milk prices were very high in quarter one, and in fact in quarter four of last financial year, the milk prices were very high. And last financial year, which is FY23, we exited with a good amount of bulk butter in hand, and that was held 2,000 tons of bulk butter in hand, and that was, you can imagine, at the peak raw milk prices. And from then on, quarter on quarter, the milk prices, raw milk prices, have come down steadily, which means that the butter was being sold always at a lower price than the accumulated price. That is the reason why the loss happened. But if it is a spot trade, you're right that buying and selling would be at the same price. But that's not how usually it happens. There is a small lag.
Got it. No, this was just for understanding. Yeah. Thanks. I'll follow, get back in the queue for any follow-up here.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to one or two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Kiran Kumar from InvestWise. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So my question is on this milk growth, where we have grown 3.74% year on year. So majorly, which market had given us this growth? Is it overall all the geographies we operate, like Hyderabad is our major area. So are other areas also contributed to this growth, or only it's Hyderabad which we grew?
Yeah, this is Kamamurthy. So milk, no, sale volume has grown across all the markets. So growth is there all the market. Okay, not only single market.
Can you just tell me how much we grew in Hyderabad, which is our major market, which is a sustainable growth, as I feel?
Okay, while Mr. Sambhumurthy gets that number, I do not agree with what you said, that growth in Hyderabad is only sustainable. In fact, all the other markets are also equally sustainable. Our growth usually is higher in our...
Sorry for my statement. What I meant was, like, since we have the higher market share in Hyderabad, which gives you a better margin, so I quoted in that sense, not in a different sense.
It is Hyderabad also roughly the same growth, actually. So
my second question is on your future, means Q1. How are we trending in our sales, milk and other product sales? Is it like last year, I remember we were like, we had a bad season for our VAP products and all because of unscattered rains, all those stuff. Is it better in this quarter, or we are still experiencing the same?
Sure.
We'll answer later, Kiran.
Okay. And my last question is regarding butter provision. Did we exhaust our butter provisions which were made till Q3, or are we still carry forwarding some provisions in our books?
Not much, actually. Butter provision around 4.5 crores is still carry. We have provided it.
Okay.
As on 31st March.
That's all from me. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankit Gupta from Bamboo Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for a great set of numbers. So my first question was on the milk sales. You know, we have seen a steady increase in the milk procurement over this financial year, but our milk sale has been, you know, in low single digit for the full year and most of the quarters. VAP sales have continued to grow pretty well, you know, in high double digits. So is it that, you know, the higher milk procurement is being directed towards VAP, and you know, since those are higher margin products, and milk sales growth will continue to lag the milk procurement numbers by a big margin?
Thank you, Ankit. This is Srideep here. So just to give you a sense of, you know, last 4 or 5 quarters trend of what has happened, in quarter one, we declared milk volumes degrowth of about 1.1%. In quarter two, volumes of milk grew at 0.8%. Quarter three was 2.3%. Quarter four was 3.8%. So you can see that minus 1, plus 1, plus 2.3, plus 3.8, so which should give you confidence that the trajectory is good. And the reason why it initially went to negative was because of raw milk procurement price increases. We had passed on close to about 11 to 12% price increase to the consumer. Whenever there is a significant price increase to the consumer, there is a little bit of a contraction of consumption. And I'm not sure, Ankit, if you had attended our previous investor con calls, we had mentioned that we had achieved the price increase partially through increase of MRP and partially through what we call a shrinkflation, which is basically reduction of grammage of the pack sizes, which also resulted in like a consumer buying, the number of packets that the consumer buys remains same, but the quantity purchased comes down a little bit. So it is pretty much understandable when we take a price increase of 11 to 12%, volume tapers a little bit. But the good news is that we have been able to turn it around, and now it is the year has ended with a steady growth of about close to 4%. Now, specific question about difference in growth rates of value-added products and milk. One should understand that milk is largely organized. 40% of milk consumption in the country is in the organized sector, and only rest is unorganized. Hence, the growth that we see in milk is usually at the rate of population growth or growth of urbanization. Unless consumers start to drink a lot of milk, the consumption quantities increase. That is not the case as far as value-added products are concerned. Value-added products, most of the value-added products are largely unorganized. And the momentum that we are able to get is because of the conversion from unorganized to organized, because we are able to provide highest quality products, because we are able to give consumers convenience, which they do not have with organized. For example, paneer, only 4% is organized. Curd, only 8% is organized. So naturally, value-added products will continue to have a higher growth rate compared to milk. And so this you should expect going forward as well.
So that would very well explain my questions. And my second question was on, in the current quarter, given the kind of, the heat wave which the entire country has experienced, how do you see the growth of, VAP, especially products like curd and ice cream, in the quarter, and percentage of our total sales from VAP are we targeting for FY25?
Yeah, Ankit, as we mentioned earlier, we are trying to defer discussions on current quarter to the next quarter.
So, but any target that you can give for value-added product contribution for FY25?
I think there's a lot of general opinions in the media from some of the leaders of cooperatives. I think you have a lot of information, but specifically to our company, we can't release at this point in time. But if you can look at the past trends and understand what the potential could be.
Thank you, and wish all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nirmam from Unique PMS. Please go ahead.
Sir, can you quantify the fat loss for the quarter, and do we expect any fat losses in the next year?
Yeah, just hold on a minute.
Good afternoon, sir. This is Prabhakar. Fat losses for the quarter. Quarter four.
13.45 crores. Both bulk and. Okay. And do we expect this in the next year? What amount could it be?
See, sir, this is Sridip here. So, like we said, it's our intention to consistently bring the losses in fats quarter on quarter. And there are several strategies that we are working on to ensure it happens. First of all, the larger part of the loss is when we sell fat in bulk in commodities. So we are, like I mentioned earlier in the call, currently the bulk fat that we are holding is very minimal. So we do not expect too much of bulk fat sale to happen. Most of the sale should happen in consumer packs, which means that naturally, that will help us in reducing the losses, number one. Number two, we are also trying to reduce the time lag between accumulation and sales, which will also reduce the, arbitrage as far as the price is concerned.
Got it, sir. And so secondly, so we've seen a good uptick in the gross margins for the quarter. So, you know, can you elaborate what led to it and if this number is sustainable going forward?
Sure. Thank you. And I think specific numbers I will request CFO Mr. Prabhakar Naidu to give. But on a very high level, the fat losses came down in quarter four. And secondly, we had the benefit of raw milk price reduction, which happened in quarter four. We also had advantage of low priced SMP that we used. Yeah, and you will also see that the value added products growth had gone up at around 22%. So all of these help, and specific numbers may be.
Gross margin for Q4 is actually 23.34%. For the year, at 20.09.
So his question is why? So raw milk prices, we have already indicated that it has come down. I think it is there in the investor note. The second thing is SMP. Whatever we have consumed is also at a lower price compared to because of all benefited because of the milk prices coming down.
Pramani here, just to expand a little bit upon gross margins, our intention as a company is to stabilize, if not improve margins.
Hello?
Hello? We are unable to hear you, ma'am.
I guess the signal issue, maybe she'll come back.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am, please.
Yeah, sorry about that. I had a connection issue. So what I was trying to say is that we have displayed in our results also stability or improvement of gross margins over the last 8 quarters through a combination of different initiatives, as CEO Sridhar had mentioned, focus on value-added products, better procurement mix, and more focus on growth of these higher margin products and also improvement in the increase in sale of consumer pack fat versus bulk fat. So I think that's something we can expect going forward, focus on stable and growing gross margins.
Yeah, thank you. And my third question is just related to the JV. So we've seen reduction in losses, but we've still provided an impairment of about 16 to 17 crores this year. So can you talk about that?
This is as per accounting standard, actually, when there are indications when the company is continuously incurring the losses, we need to test it for impairment. We have appointed external consultant for valuing the company. We have applied the DCF method. So based on the valuation report and our carrying the amount of investment in standalone financial statements, we are supposed to provide actually the higher of the carrying amount more than the value, our share of value of the JV. That has been provided as of now.
Okay, but then we...
Sorry to interrupt, sir.
Maybe. Thank you.
Sir, would you? Yeah, just to add one point, it's true the losses have come down and business building is happening at a rapid pace by expanding the channels and outlets, markets, etc. But to present the true and fair situation of the company's assets value, investment value, it was recommended by our consultant to have impairment noted. So that has been carried through so that the health of the company is clearly reflected for the years to come.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit from Samatva Investments. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is on the JV only. So I just want to know what's our plan for the JV, right? The losses have decreased, I get it. But what's our plan next 2-3 years in terms of revenue growth, in terms of market reach, and by when do you see it breaking even? Just your thoughts on that.
It's a, yeah, sure. Thank you. It's a product, single product category company which started focusing on yogurts in different forms, liquid, stirred, fruit, flavor, etc. We had an initial setback when the business commenced because of the COVID. This company was ready to commission at the onset of COVID. So 2 years, we couldn't place the products in the markets because of the physical constraints of reaching, etc. So we lost a valuable time for the first 2 years after commissioning the business. But subsequently, it picked up. The volumes are growing. There was some issue in terms of reaching out long distance markets because of the cold chain requirements. Now all the requirements have been fulfilled. The business is picking up. We estimate another 2 financial years, including current year, to achieve break even as per the current movement of the business. So that is 26 financial year, we can see business in a very healthy shape. We even trying to expand the product portfolio so that the volumes can come faster. It's a well accepted, high quality niche product. It's only a question of building volumes, how rapidly we can build to absorb the overheads and other costs.
Got it. So what has been the revenues for the last 2 years for the joint venture?
Repeat?
Revenues
are small. It's about 6 crores, 7 crores, 8 crores kind of thing.
Got it. So my second question would be, could you give me the number for curd sales FY24 and FY23?
Growth,
asking for volume,
revenue growth is about
820 crores, right?
Good, full year.
Yeah, full year. Yeah, so it's close to about 820 crores, and which is growing at a rate of 16%.
So FY23 to FY24, it has grown 16%, right?
That's right.
Okay. Sir, my last question would be on the ice cream part. So this year we have done around 70 to 80 odd crores. So in terms of scale, right, there's a very big opportunity in ice cream. So the next 3 to 4 years, how big can this segment be for us?
Yeah, this is Sridhip here. See, ice cream is a category which is seeing every single value-added product category is growing, and our intention is to keep the growth ahead of the industry. So our understanding is that ice cream as an industry is growing at the rate of about 16 to 18%, and for us this year we have grown at 38%, which I think okay, fine. You ask me why didn't we grow 40% or 50%, of course it can be much better than this. So it's our intention, if I could just give you the comfort that we intend to grow much faster than the industry. At this point in time, we are growing at double the rate of the industry because our size of the business, like you mentioned, is still small.
Understood. Great, sir. Thank you so much, and wishing you all the very best. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhaval Dama from DVD Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, sir. Sir, my first question is, we have come a long way in terms of value-added products being 25-26% of the revenue to now north of 33-34% of the revenue. In your mind, what's the sustainable number in terms of, let's say, what's your ambition when you talk about 6,000 crore revenue? What number can VAP be? Will it peak out at 35% or even 37-38% or 40% as possible? Just wanted your sense on that.
So, Karan, thanks for the question. We have been, 6,000 crore is the ambition that we have as far as revenue is concerned. In the same breath, we had mentioned that we want to have 40% of that revenue coming through value-added products. So we're sticking to a same number, which means that, internally for me, my effort is to ensure that 2.5 to 3% improvement happens every year, which means that in 3 or 4 years' time, when we get to the 6,000 crore, we should be able to get to the 40% as well.
Sure, sir. Sir, my second question is regarding sustainable margins. You always mentioned that your margins in VAP are significantly higher than what it is in milk. And when you say that, and the journey that we have traveled from 25-27% to 33-34%, and you want to take it to 40%, and obviously there will be some operating leverage, on a sustainable basis, as a company, from where we were, do we see at least 2-3 percentage points higher margin as a, not quarter to quarter or even year to year, but I think on a sustainable path basis, do we see us becoming an 8-9% margin company over a longer term when the VAT goes to 35-38%?
Yep, this is Sridip here. See, this is all a little speculative and a little bit of arithmetic. Yeah, but what we know for sure is that in a sustainable long-term basis, value-added products will always have higher margins compared to milk, right? Primarily because that's the very nature of value, by very fact that it is a value-added product means that consumer will pay higher price and we should be able to make higher margins in that. Now, the rest is you can do arithmetic. At some point in time, the gap between milk and value-added product was 5-6%. At this point in time, the gap has come down a little bit because we have taken up prices of milk quite a bit. So milk is actually now pretty much profitable for us. So the gap between milk and value-added products has reduced, and it's only now 2.5% or so. So, but still, value-added product will always give you a higher return compared to milk. So, in our opinion, if currently we are at around 29.6% of value-added product without ghee and butter, because you know, in our the reason why we gave two numbers is that internally we keep value-added products report without ghee and butter because the margin profile of ghee and butter is different from the rest of the value-added products. So, whenever I say that the value-added products return higher margins compared to milk, I'm talking about value-added products other than ghee and butter. So, the value-added product contribution today, other than ghee and butter, is 29.6, and including ghee and butter, it is 33.5. So, that 29.6 is what we hope and aim to take to 40%, and that 10% swing should definitely help us improve the profit profile of the company as the bucket moves from, let's say, a 5% or 6% EBITDA to about 11-12% EBITDA bucket.
Sure, sir. And my last question is regarding CAPEX. What will be your CAPEX for this year and next?
CAPEX for the financial year completed was 136 crores. That is FY24. FY25, current year, we are planning around 150 crores.
Sure, sir. Best of luck and congratulations again.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Resha Mehta from Green Edge Wealth. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Congratulations on a very strong set of numbers, especially on the profitability side. My first question is on, you know, the growth rate, right? So last financial year, you know, we have seen a high teen kind of a growth rate. And do we see, so even in Q4, we saw that, you know, the growth rate kind of tempered a little bit at 16% versus 20% in Q2 and Q3. So now that, you know, we are cycling such a high base, do we see any moderation in our growth rate? For, let's say, going ahead, could this number from high teen, you know, go to a low teen kind of a number, or any thoughts around that? And also for this growth that we are targeting, are we confident of, you know, achieving the related procurement growth as well? That's the first question.
Yeah, thank you, Raisha. This is Sridhip here. Fortunately, we are in a very attractive industry. And this attractive industry is sitting in a very attractive country. So that's possibly what our biggest strength is, right? The country, you know, GDP is expected to grow at 7.5%, 8%. And in that dairy industry, dairy sector is supposed to grow or expected to grow faster than that, right? And all estimates given by experts all talk about 11 to 13% kind of industry growth rate. And our intention is to continue to gain share and grow at a differential rate compared to our peer group. And if you compare our growth rate with any of our competitors, you can see that we are a tad above them, which means that if industry is growing at 11 to 13%, then we should aim to grow in high teens. We should continue to grow that, right? So I can give you the comfort of tailwind that we have and our determination to make it happen.
The procurement
case. Right. And procurement.
Yeah. So so this year we have grown our procurement in line with our milk market milk requirement. So every year we have as in it's a steady work that we do. Every month we open about 150 odd the village level collection centers, which means that in a year we open about close to 2,000 village level collection centers, and each village level collection center picks up close to about 180 to 200 liters of milk, which means that every month our procurement is growing in line with our milk requirement or milk demand. I do not see at this point in time, this is a lot of hard work, but I do not see any challenge or disruption in this journey.
Right. The second one is on the margins. Again, a two-part question here. The first thing, you know, so milk prices have been largely subdued for the last 18 months, right? And while you, you know, mentioned that, okay, in Q1, they may inch up because of the seasonality factor, but otherwise, they have been largely subdued for the last 18 months. In the past cycles, what we have seen is that, you know, whenever milk prices remain subdued for a very long time, the farmers, you know, their behavior changes and, you know, they tend to ignore their animal health, which eventually, you know, leads to drop in productivity and then again milk inflation cycle. So how are you reading things on the ground in terms of farmer behavior, and because of this, how do we see, you know, the milk prices shaping up more from a long-term perspective?
Yeah, Risha, this is Sridhip here again. It's a very, very excellent question and very difficult question to answer, because we are talking about large numbers and many, you know, India is the largest producer of milk with 6 to 8 crore people involved in it. So it's very difficult to predict. But if I could just call out a few things which could be in our favor, at least in the near short term. First of all, even when the prices have come down, it has just come down, you know, you could say that it has just nipped a bit lower than its peak, and it has not crashed. So the prices have come down, for example, in the last quarter by 7-odd%, but it is still considerably good or higher than let's say Q4 of or Q3 of the previous financial year, which means that as far as the farmer remuneration is concerned, it went up quite a bit and it has settled down to a sustainable price, is the way I'll put it. So at this point in time, I believe that the producer is happy. Companies like us, we are able to make money and we are able to give the consumers products at affordable prices. So it's the equation is actually very well balanced at this point in time, and which is the reason why there is stability for the last many months, and we are hoping that the stability sustains for some time. But surely, like, you know, external disturbances and disruptions can happen. But at this point in time, the prices that we are paying to our farmers is quite sustainable on both sides.
So you're not seeing in the markets where you procure that, you know, farmers have started neglecting animals' health or anything of that sort, right?
No, such things would be seen on news as well. We are not seeing anything. everything is at this point in time, everything is very stable. Touch wood.
Got it. Right. And lastly, you know, on the EBITDA margins, so just a quantitative data point question here. So if you could call out the EBITDA margins for liquid milk and VAP in Q4 and also for the full year. And also, have you taken any blended price hike in VAP in Q4?
I'll answer the second question. We have had market mix changes because of which the prices have changed. You know, you will say that the net realization weighted average, sorry, blended average.
NR changed.
Yeah, blended average would have changed, but we have not taken any price increase as such.
Okay, so for
FY24. Rishad, to your first question, I think CFO is answering.
Good afternoon, ma'am. This is actually for Q4, milk margin is 8.97% and VAP margin is 10.48%.
And for the full year?
For the full year, milk margin 6.34%, VAP 9.75%.
Right. And just a clarification,
sorry,
so no price hikes have been taken.
Ma'am, may we request that you return to the question queue. There are several participants waiting for their turn, please.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time and fairness to all participants, may we request that you limit your questions to one or two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Sanika from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, hi, am I audible?
Yes, ma'am. Would request you to please use your answer.
Okay. So, like, since you said that we are targeting a high-teen growth, so what kind of growth are you looking from the value side and what kind of growth are you looking from the volume perspective?
Yeah, this is Sridhip here again. Sanika, this year, because the raw milk prices have stabilized, we are not expecting a lot of price increase to happen on the consumer side. So large percentage of the growth will have to be driven through volume growth. That's what we foresee. I hope I've answered your question.
Yeah, so like this 15 to 20% growth, can we expect this kind of growth on a year-on-year basis going in quarter one? And kind of 7.5 to 8% EBITDA margin.
So for volumes growth, you know, we have been delivering the level of volume growth in value-added products for some time. Milk is a product category where we need to accelerate the growth as well, and that also is an upward trend. There is a lot of work that we are doing, both on distribution side as well as on the consumer side, to make sure this happens. For example, you have seen in the report itself that we have added close to 400 plus distributors in the quarter, which is going to help us in quarter one and beyond. We're continually expanding our presence in the market through distribution initiatives. We have added tens of thousands of retail outlets. We have entered new channels of distribution. For example, in Tamil Nadu, we have opened several new towns where we were not present earlier. So that's a continuous work that we're doing. And on the consumer side, we are investing now consistently on the marketing side to create consumer demand. And that's also helping us drive differential offtake from the stores compared to our competitors. So we are gaining market share as well at the same time. So it's a combination of these which should help us, continue the growth journey.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sameer Gupta from India Infoline. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. Thanks for taking a follow-up. Just wanted some color on the current state mix in terms of sales? If exact data you cannot give, any flavor that you can share will also be great. This is for FY24 I'm asking.
Yes, Samir, you are quite anxious to know, but we are also trying to be disciplined.
I understand, sir.
Our compliance officer is sitting next to us.
Any flavor will also be helpful, sir. Just wanted to understand, it's been some time since...
We can tell you that our core markets are growing at healthy numbers, and our non-core markets or frontier markets, which is all the developing markets, are growing much faster. That's all I can say at this point in time, and it's a healthy mix at this point in time.
And just a follow-up here, any new states you might have entered in the last 2 years?
This quarter, in the note we had mentioned that we have entered Odisha. Odisha is a market that we entered in this quarter four of FY24.
Great, sir. I'll probably take this offline then. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Govind Lal Gilada, who is an investor. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. I've got only one question. A few days back, exactly on 28, there was a webinar organized by Christian. In that, one of our official, I don't remember name, was represented in this webinar. So,
you're referring to Crystal.
Hello?
Please go ahead.
Yes, please.
There was a statement from one of our residents who has represented in this Christian webinar that this year, this dairy is a growth story of decade. So that I want to just, can you elaborate on that decade of dairy growth story? What exactly, some elaboration can you give on this, sir?
You are.
In general,
the
discussion was. Yeah, so see, I think that is a figure of speech. The idea is that this is what I was just, saying some time back, that in India is expected to have a continued consistent GDP growth for next many years to come, and we are growing at a rate of 6 to 7%, which means that if the economy is growing at that rate, then dairy industry is expected to grow faster. And here are the reasons why. Number one, large percentage of dairy sector is still unorganized. In fact, close to about 55% of the dairy sector is still unorganized. So there is a constant shift that we are seeing from unorganized to organized. I had mentioned this answering to another question earlier. For example, products such as curd, it's only 8 to 9% which is organized. Ghee, only 18% is organized. Paneer, 4% is organized. Even milk, only 40% is organized. So the shift from unorganized to organized is what is helping dairy grow faster than the economic growth of the country. Secondly, the consumers are becoming more and more health conscious. And in India, 40% of consumers are vegetarian. The primary source of nutrition or protein for most of these consumers is milk or milk products, which means that actually, we are seeing that in India, the protein consumption still is way below the requirement. That is another thing which is going to drive growth of dairy products. The third reason is the dairy is very versatile. See, unlike any other food category or any other FMCG category, which only plays in one opportunity or one occasion, dairy plays across many occasions, from the morning tea or coffee till lunch or dinner, even snacks, even sweets. So sweets, organized sweets is a fast growing category. Ice creams is a very fast growing category. Everything is made from dairy. So the number of occasions that you count in a day, you can have with dairy is enormous. Even ghee, which is a cooking medium, butter. So, it's boundless, which is the reason why, I think there was a general opinion that, we are going to witness a very fast-paced growth in the dairy sector.
Yeah, thank you very much, sir. You've helped me.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kritika from Sher Khan by BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Just one confirmation. We said that the Q4 bulk losses are 14 crores. So the, for the full year, they were 47 crores. Am I right?
14 crores. And then second part, I couldn't hear you. Full year.
Bulk fat losses for the Q4, it was 14 crores. So for the full year, was it 47 crores, if I'm right? Around 47 crores?
49 crores.
Okay, so excluding the bulk fat, our margin for the year, would that be around 6.8%? Is that the calculation correct? We said it's 5.5%, so if we exclude these losses.
Yeah, Kritika, this is Sridip here. So bulk fat contributed close to about 1% of the loss. Okay, it's slightly a tad above 1.1%.
Okay.
So, if you look at the margins without the bulk fat, then you can add that back.
Okay, sure, sir. Also, sir, regarding the fat, what we are expecting for FY25, so are we expecting that the fat product will, sales will likely to decline because, we have shown a very strong growth in FY24. So for FY25, what are we expecting?
Impact on the sales.
Revenue from
your question is on revenues or on volumes?
Revenues.
Yeah. So, yes, that is something that we are aware of. And hence, our intention is to continue to drive growth in the core categories where we are focused on, like whether it is curd, paneer, flavored milk, milkshakes, ghee, cheese, milk, primarily. So these are all the core categories that we are trying to continue to drive and sustain the growth rate that we expect.
Okay. So the last question, what will be the VAP volume for Q4 and for FY24, VAP volume growth for Q4 and for the full year?
Volume growth VAP it is about 20% and value growth 2% in Q4
and full year.
Full year it is 13% growth in volume and 19% growth in revenue.
Okay, sure, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Dhwanil Desai from Turtle Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sridip and everyone. Good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So, Sridip, my first question is, I think, we have been having discussion around fat losses or gain. And I think you have explained in earlier calls and interactions that it's very peculiar for every company to have very different profiles on that. And we are working on 3 or 4 initiatives to ensure that over a period of time, this, fat loss or gain part is minimized. So can you update on that, whether it is, introduction of Gada milk or, selling more butter and ghee or changing the milk buffalo and cow mix, if you can update on that. And, any timeline where, we would be able to kind of, move away for these fluctuations on the fat side of it.
Yeah, thank you, Anil. Actually, I'm very pleased and surprised that you remember exactly the conversation that we had and the points that we discussed. So there are three interventions that we can have. One is on the supply side, right? Supply side intervention is the shift from the proportion from buffalo milk more towards cow milk, which actually reduces the incoming fat into the company. And we have actually made good progress on that in this financial year. Actually, when we closed, the contribution of cow milk has increased by 3%, right? And that is something that is significant when we are procuring 15.5 lakh liters per day, that 3% is something that really makes a big difference, big impact over a period in time. So you should realize that the fat difference between cow and buffalo milk is close to 2.5%, 2.5 to 3%. So that's the first initiative. So that's something that we are working on. We have been working on for some time, and it's yielding results. The second, not sure if you have received the investor presentation. In the presentation itself, we have shown that, you know, we have launched so many products, which is like, you know, higher fat products, which is helping us take this, you know, the incoming fat out into the market. In addition, we are also growing our ghee sales steadily, and ghee and butter, which is on the consumer side. This is something that is growing steadily, and I called out some numbers early on. That from 500, 600 tons per quarter, now it is 800, 900 tons per quarter. So that's also, these are all the initiatives that we are taking to ensure that over a period of time, we tide over and we do not have this problem.
Okay. Second question. So whatever our aspiration is of reaching, let's say, 6,000 crore number over a period of time, so are we factoring in growth in the existing states, or, you know, it's also considering entry into, meaningful entry into newer states? If you can talk a bit about that.
Yeah, it will be a mix of all. So we will continue to, just now, we, like I mentioned, we just entered Odisha market. So we are looking at adjacencies, both geographic as well as one is state entering into a new state, but we are also looking at entering into newer markets in existing states, which is, you know, India is so huge. So we are now expanding our reach into tier one cities, tier two cities, which is where we are seeing a lot of growth as well. So that's the geographic expansion definitely is in place, is part of the plan. As well as going deeper in the existing geographies and cities where we are operating.
Okay. But the larger part of growth will come from the existing geographies getting denser. Is that how you look at it, or?
Yeah, you could say that.
Okay. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya from Securities Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is on our inventory. So in this year our inventory has reduced considerably, while if I look at your other two south based players, they have almost doubled their inventory, and they are talking about taking advantage of the low cost milk situation which we are currently witnessing. So what is our strategy on inventory, if you could just elaborate?
Yeah, our inventory on butter has been much lower than the last year's. So that is to our advantage we visualize. And the other inventory of milk powder, value is low because the price is lower. Per ton price is lower this year significantly. So the quantity required for our internal consumption is available. So we are comfortable with the inventory buildup we have for companies' requirements. We don't have any surplus inventory which we have to sell out in terms of butter, in terms of SMP.
And if I may just add, so previously also we mentioned, I think it was in Q2 call, we had mentioned that we do not do speculative trade, so we don't do that. So we are not speculating and buying. Last year also we bought enough to cover us till December, the S&P. This year also is exactly the same.
So, but as a strategy, don't you want to take the advantage of these low prices which we are currently witnessing? Because in Q1 or Q2, when the prices increase, you could take advantage of this low cost inventory that the other players are doing instead of buying from spot.
It's a good question. At this point in time, monsoon is very good. So we are expecting the milk production to be very good. And if that happens, then?
Yeah, it's a double-edged weapon. can go either way. So we chose not to do speculation.
Yeah. With good production, prices could come down further. So anyways, don't want to comment on that. Let's not see. The point is that, you know, as you're investing in our company, I would like to assure you that, you know, we won't give speculative surprises. Yeah. So we are trying to build the business on a more robust, predictable model.
Interesting, sir. And sir, generally in Q1, we see a spike in prices, in milk procurement prices. So have we seen a similar spike this year, or the spike or the increase has been very limited in the procurement prices? And secondly, we see how is the cow flesh progressing for us this year?
Yeah, as we discussed earlier, Q1 discussion we'll have next time, please.
No, so just the procurement prices in April, how have they been trending as compared to Q4?
The prices are stable, but in Q1 always there is a little bit of price up increase which happens. So we are witnessing that. Nothing out of the ordinary. Yeah.
Understood. Okay. Thank you, sir, for answering questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Dr. Rao for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you all for participating in this earnings call today. I hope we were able to answer your questions satisfactorily and at the same time offer insights into our business. If you have any further questions or would like to know more about the company, please reach out to our investor relations managers at Valorem Advisors. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Heritage Foods Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.